I'm always grateful when God moves the way that He moved here tonight. And you know, it's interesting how that... You ever noticed He never moves like that during a sermon? You ever notice that? Well, now that you mention it. Like I've said before, a sermon is information about God, but worship, it's interaction with God. When we're worshiping Him, it opens the door for Him to move and begin to interact with us on a spiritual level. That's why it's so important. And you know, during those times when it's just really quiet, it can seem like nothing's happening. But a lot is happening. One of the worst things that we can do is dismiss those times and just, I don't know, sit around and wonder, okay, well, what's next? You know, it's a battle sometimes in the mind to stay focused. We all go through it. But the battle's worth it. Very much so. And, you know, not all churches are open to this, to what happens. I've been in church services where I just know they would not know how to really fully respond during a move of God like that. They're so accustomed to energetic interaction with music. I guess that's a nice way to put it. Be still and know that I am God. Praise the Lord. God is moving in a little bit different direction here tonight. The title of the sermon has changed. It is now, what do you see? What do you see? You know, when we have times of that quietness before the Lord, part of what I do is, I talk to the Lord and I ask, you know, help me to know what to do. Because I don't want to interrupt what He's doing. I want to, whatever He wants, that's what I want. And, He said, just wait a few more minutes. So, okay. Well, glad I did, because during those few minutes is what He was giving me to share with you here. So praise God. Now, why don't you open to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. When we read through the Old Testament, we see God doing a whole lot of really interesting things. Incredible things. Powerful things. You know, you take a look at, what Abraham did. You know, God said, take your son and offer him up to me. And so Abraham did, and, you know, he has that knife, and he's ready to kill his son. And then God speaks up and says, wait, you know, the angel shows up. No, stop. Don't do it. And we know the rest of the story. And we admire that. We think, you know, boy, you know, could I have done that? You know, if God said that to me, could I have done that? Well, I'd like to think that I would, but you know, I've got to have some doubts. But you move on through in the Old Testament, and you see Moses, and you think, man, you know, that... He did some incredible things. All, you know, the plagues. He told Pharaoh, here's what's going to happen. And sure enough, it happened. And they come to the sea, and you know, he raises his staff and all this, and they walk across on dry land. And just all the miracles that happened with Moses. And you just keep going through the Old Testament. You come up to, Elijah, Elisha, on and on it goes. And we see that, and it's impressive. It's very impressive that those things happened. And if we're honest, we'll probably all admit, gee, I wish those things would happen in my life. Well, then we get to the New Testament. And we start reading about Jesus. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We read about his ministry. And I mean, all the incredible things that happened, the miracles, the great works that took place, the healings. People that were lame were healed. People that were blind received their sight. People who were deaf received their hearing. Devils were cast out of people, the devils that were causing, physical problems and so forth. And even the dead were raised. And that's pretty amazing. Then you get over into beyond the four Gospels and you see what happened in the book of Acts with Peter and Paul and others. But when it comes to Jesus, he did a lot of, amazing, miraculous things. And if you look here in chapter 5 of John at verse 19, we're jumping in the middle of this, but then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Well, what led up to this was this fellow that got healed at the pool of Bethesda, and he had been, it says in verse 5, an infirmity 30 and 8 years. I mean, that's a long time. A long time. And even though I don't fully understand what was going on at those waters and, the angel stirs it and so forth, I mean, I don't have enough understanding to really teach on that. I just know that this man was healed. And it did not take those waters to heal him. And I guess maybe one thing we can learn from that is it doesn't matter how many people have been healed in a certain way. If we try to replicate what they did, then we're looking at what they did, not what Jesus does. And so it's important for us to remember that, we've got to stay focused on him. But it says in verse 18 that the Jews, they wanted to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. How was it that he broke the Sabbath? Well, they said that by healing this guy, he broke the Sabbath. He didn't, but that's what they said. And then Jesus, he lays it on them big time in that 19th verse, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. This is really interesting, because when we go through the four Gospels, and we see all the works that Jesus did, let alone the teaching, but all the works that he did, we can begin to get the idea he just did this stuff because he was Jesus. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He just went around and he just did these things. But here, this one verse gives us incredible insight. Because Jesus says he can do nothing of himself. Let that sink in. Because the way that we have been taught over the years, well, the way that many people have been taught over the years, he did these things because he's Jesus. But Jesus says the Son can do nothing of himself. Nothing. He can do nothing of himself. Okay, now, if Jesus could do nothing of himself, What's it say about us? We can do nothing of ourselves. Nothing. In fact, you get over to Acts chapter, you don't have to turn to this, but Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So that means that Jesus was totally dependent on what we would call the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that power that comes from the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Without that, he couldn't do anything. He could not have accomplished what he did. And here he tells us the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. Now this was right after this fellow was healed after that infirmity for 38 years. And he couldn't walk. And Jesus says, look, I can do nothing of myself but what I see the Father do. So, this is really amazing because it brings up a lot of questions. Such as, okay, Jesus, you're telling us that you do nothing that you don't see the Father do. You just healed this guy who had been lame for 38 years. So, you're telling us that you saw the Father heal this guy? What exactly are you saying here, Jesus? And that all these other people that have been healed, the lame that have been made to walk, and the blind to see, and on it goes. Are you saying that you saw the Father do those things before you did them? Well, what's it say? The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. Well, the answer would seem to be, yes, that somehow he could see, he had a vision, something, an awareness of what God would do. Well, here's somebody who's lame. But yet he had that awareness, that insight, that vision, that seeing that the Father would heal that lame person. And so, he heals that lame person. In other words, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, Father, since this is what you would do, and you're up there and I'm down here, then obviously, your will is for that person to be healed. And since I'm here to do your will, then I'm the one that must minister to that person. Can't do it of myself. But you have anointed me with the Holy Ghost and power, so therefore I know I can do this. And he would do it. He would heal them. And what's amazing is that there were, from what we see in Scripture, there was never any hesitancy on his part. Never. It didn't matter what it was. How many of us, well, don't respond here, okay? How many of us have ever prayed for somebody for a healing to manifest? Now, I don't mean when you're at home alone or you're in your car or, you know, you're here at church. No, I mean you physically have been in the presence of that person and you have prayed for healing to manifest in that person's body. Now, some of you, well, maybe all of you have, or maybe some of you haven't. I don't know. But when we've done that, you know, have you ever had the thought of, I'm not sure if this is going to work. You ever had the thought of, I hope this works. I hope they get healed. You know what? I don't think Jesus ever wondered. I don't think he ever wondered. I don't think that this guy that was, you know, had this infirmity for 38 years, couldn't walk. I don't think Jesus had any concerns about, I mean, I'll try. I hope this works, because if it doesn't, I'm going to look pretty stupid. But these are the kind of things that go through our minds. I'd gone through my mind too. Hey, listen, there have been times when I've been in a church service, in a prayer line, I'm praying for people and thinking, I hope they get healed. You know, I mean, I'm doing my part, right? Be healed, I hope. Yeah, you know, confessions of the preacher. And by the way, I'm confessing on behalf of all preachers, because we've all gone through that. But the thing is, here with Jesus, he says, look, I can do nothing of myself but what I see the Father do. So he had this confidence that, well, if the Father would do this, I know it's going to be done. I know for a fact it'll be done. We're talking about God who created the universe, okay? And so I see the Father would do this, therefore I know it would be done, and I'm supposed to do this in as the representative of the Father, so therefore, you know, be healed. And the person's healed. And it was never shocking to Jesus. You know, I've been in church services where people got healed, and then, you know, folks hooped and hollered and jumped around like they just won the lottery. You're not playing the lottery, right? But no, they hoop and holler and jump and shout almost like they weren't sure it was going to happen. And whoa, look at that. It did happen. Woohoo! Honestly, I cannot envision Jesus ever dancing and jumping and shouting as though I didn't know it was going to happen like this. No, to him it was business as usual. I mean, this is just what you do when you're a child of God and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's just how it was with him. This is just what you do. He said, I can do nothing except what I see the Father do. This is so important because it gives us a revelation of Jesus, how that he didn't just do unless he saw the Father do it. Let me throw one out to you. You don't have to turn to this. But after the day of Pentecost, we see Peter and John walking into the temple. It says, good, the temple, going to the temple in the hour of prayer. And there was a guy who was lame. And it says that they... Okay, go ahead and turn over there. We may come back here to John chapter 5. So keep your finger there. But here it is in chapter 3. Here it is. It says, verse 1, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And there was a certain man, verse 2, lame from his mother's womb. Now, we don't know why the fellow was lame. Were his feet deformed? We don't know. Something was wrong, though, because this guy was lame from his mother's womb. And look at this. It says that they, his friends, family, whatever, they laid him, now look at this, daily, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And they laid him there so he could ask for alms. Now look at this. This is the temple in Jerusalem, all right? And he was lame from his mother's womb. And his friends laid him daily at the gate so he could get financial assistance. Now Jesus ministered for about 3.5 years. You do know that he went to that temple more than once. You do understand that, right? How come Jesus didn't heal this guy? Why didn't he? Well, you know what? Every one of us in here could give an opinion about that. Bottom line is this, he didn't do it. Now the reason why, I don't want to get caught up in that. But he didn't do it. However, it does say, he says, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. So then, if we work it from that perspective, theoretically, we could say that guy didn't get healed because the Father never gave Jesus the vision of healing that guy. Now, you say, well, Pastor Jim, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, you don't have to. I agree that it does sound kind of far out. But what I do know is this, that guy did get healed. He did get healed. Remember, Peter, John, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter takes him by the hand, raises him up, the guy leaping, starts jumping for joy and so forth, and the people were amazed. And then Peter turns around and he says, wait, hold on folks, hold on. You know, why are you acting like this, as though it's by our own power we did this? No, it's not by our own power we did this. It's the name of Jesus that healed this guy. That's where it came from. Now, what's interesting is that I want you to think about this. Peter and John had traveled with Jesus roughly 3.5 years. Now, in those 3.5 years, what did they see? They saw him give sight to the blind, give hearing to the deaf, the maimed were made whole, but they also saw the lame made to walk. They saw it. And so what we could say is they did nothing except what they saw Jesus do. And they had that vision. They knew they had seen Jesus do these things. And so with them, there was a confidence that we can do the same thing. We can do this in the name of Jesus. We cannot do this of ourselves, which is essentially the same thing that Jesus said. The Son can do nothing of himself. Peter says, it's not by our own power. We didn't do this by our own power. We can't generate this kind of power. But Jesus, he's the one. They had seen this happen. And so inside them was a vision of every healing they had ever witnessed. Now, you and I both know, when Jesus first started ministering with them, and I really don't know the order of all the healings they witnessed, because there were so many healings, they're not recorded in Scripture. But I don't know if the first healing they ever saw was maybe somebody who was blind, or maybe just had a vision problem. Maybe it was somebody with a fever or a sickness, or I don't know. But I'm sure, I have no doubt, that at first they begin seeing this and they're kind of shocked. It's like, wait a minute, how's he doing this? After a while, it went past being shocked that he could do and moved into the expectation he's going to. They just believed it. You know, after so many healings, it comes to the point to where they know. If these people come to him, they're going to be healed. All of them. They witnessed the crowds and they witnessed every sickness, disease, whether it was like the result of the Genesis fall, degeneration, or demonic, or whatever the cause. They saw these people healed. Everything. No matter what. And they even saw the dead raised. Now, in spite of all the healings, first time you see the dead raised, yeah, that takes it to a new level. But you know what? That got to the place where it didn't even shock them. To see the dead raised didn't even shock them. Because they had seen Jesus do these things? And so therefore, they could say, what we do, we do this because we saw Jesus do it. And therefore, since He said, we've been sent the way that He's been sent, well, we can do this. Because He told us that we would receive power after that the Holy Ghost came upon us. Well, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost in that upper room. So therefore, we know we can do these things. It's what He said, and it's what we saw. And so they went about and they did these things. So then this brings up a question. What about us? What do we see? Look in, and we still may come back to John chapter 5, but look over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Now let's think about this for a moment. Jesus is, if you want to say it like this, physically He's in heaven with the Father, you know, the right hand of God. So therefore, we can't be like the apostles and, you know, follow Him around and see these things done. Along with that, the apostles, they're gone. I'm talking Peter and John and all the rest of them, they're gone. You know, they're with the Lord. So, it's not like we can follow them around. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing other than what He sees the Father do. The apostles, they saw what Jesus did, and they did it. Okay, so what about us? Well, look here in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look at that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's not, well, okay, looking unto Jesus. I'd really like to, but, you know, He's in heaven. Yeah, He is. But the Scriptures are here. The Word is here. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is here. And this is why when we're told to meditate in the Word of God, see, when we get born again, our born-again spirit is now compatible with everything that's in Scripture. Say it like this. The life of our born-again spirit is now compatible and, if you will, in fellowship with the life of the Word of God. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So therefore, there is a compatibility between our born-again spirit and the Word of God. Now, didn't Jesus say that one of the things the Holy Spirit would do is show you things to come? Absolutely. Well, a lot of times we can look at that and think, okay, well, that's talking about, you know, end-time prophecy. Well, yeah, that could be a part of it. But along with that, don't you think that the Holy Spirit wants to give us a revelation, a vision, if you will, of what Jesus did? Think about it. Jesus said, I can't do anything other than what I see the Father do. Well, now He's gone. And yet we're told to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is why the more that we meditate in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the more that the Holy Spirit, especially if we, you know, especially if we throw in praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit can begin to take what happened in the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He can begin to take that and literally bring it to life on the inside of us so that in our what people call, you know, your mind's eye, you begin to see these things happening. And it gets to the point to where we can begin to do what Jesus did. Isn't that what He said would happen? If you believe in Me, then you know what? The works that I do, you shall do also. Well, believing in Him isn't simply a matter of, oh, Jesus, I believe in You. You're the, you know, Son of God. You're my Savior and so forth. Yeah, but believing in Him, it also includes believing everything that He did and what you would maybe call this transfer of a commission. He was commissioned to come here and do all these things, you know, and die for us and so on. But he came here, he was commissioned to do all of this because he said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I have been commissioned by God to do his will. And I don't do anything unless I see him doing it. So therefore, that commission has now been passed on to us. The more that we get into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the more that we can begin to see ourselves doing these things. The problem, though, is if we don't accept what's recorded in the Word of God, we're not going to believe that potential exists within us. See, I was raised in a church that told me, you must be born again. And you better be born again. But along with that, I was also told that all of what we see Jesus doing in Scripture, well, you know, that's not for today. And when that gets ingrained in you, then it doesn't matter how much you read the Word of God, you've already got a blocker there telling you, okay, that was Jesus, but it will never be me or anybody I know. Well, thank God I got delivered from that. Because when I go through here and I see these things that Jesus did, I admit it is a challenge to the natural mind. It absolutely is. You know, personally, I don't know that I'm too interested in cursing a fig tree and watching it wither, okay? And I'm definitely not too interested in turning pots of water into wine. You know, some of you are thinking, oh, Brother Martin, please, I wish you... Nah, we ain't gonna have none of that. No. But the rest of it, yeah. I think it would be great to be able to feed a multitude of people, you know, with a fish sandwich and a bowl of soup. I'm serious. I mean, hey, think about it. Wouldn't it be great to say, all right, next Sunday, we're going to have a carry-in dinner and you don't have to bring anything. And so you're wondering, wow, I guess the church is going to bring it all in. So you show up, we go downstairs, and I'm standing at a table, and I went to McDonald's, I got a fish sandwich, and I don't think they have soup. Anyway, I opened a can of Campbell's, right? So here's a can of Campbell's tomato soup and a fish sandwich. And you're thinking, okay, well, pastor gets to eat. And I tell you, all right, get a plate, get in line. And, you know, you kind of look at each other like, dude, what? Oh, whatever he says. So you start coming through and I start, you know, breaking chunks off the fish sandwich. I'm not talking like a little bitty communion wafer size. I'm talking a big chunk off that fish sandwich and dip out, you know, give you a bowl and everybody gets to eat. And then when we're done, y'all get to take stuff home. Now, wouldn't that be pretty cool? Seriously. Yes, it would. You say, well, I don't like tomato soup. Okay, we'll get you some vegetable beef. All right, we'll get to it. I'd rather have broccoli cheese if you don't mind. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying? All the rest of what he did? Yeah. I need to get to that place of seeing this. Looking unto Jesus and developing the same mindset, I can do nothing of myself other than what I see Jesus do. Well, what do I see Jesus do? Well, I see him delivering Peter's mother-in-law from a fever, you know? And how many people went to Jesus? I mean, we read about the blind and the lame and all this other, but how many people went to Jesus with something like, man, Jesus, I tell you what, my arm, I don't know what's going on, but my shoulder, it just really hurts. And he says, be healed. Whoa, thank you. That's cool. Wonderful. The minor healings, okay, those aren't identified in Scripture. But he healed everybody that went to him. Everybody. Oh, Jesus, I got this lousy toothache and my cheeks are all puffy. Oh, Jesus. And he says, be healed. And whew, the infection's gone. I mean, everything's normal. You can eat again. Everybody who went to him got healed. That is what I'm supposed to see. That is how I'm supposed to be. You know, what do you see? And every one of us in here, I don't know at what level we are of this being a reality in our lives, but we all start at the point of believing it can happen, even if we don't really understand how, and then going, fighting the battle of truly letting what we see in Scripture, what we read, become what we see in ourselves. The thing is, it can happen, though, for every single one of us. We're not, there's nobody in here too old or too young, male or female, either one. Child? Yeah. If we come to this place, this is one of the things that was so, I would call it was the major deal for a guy like Smith Wigglesworth. He captured this vision. I mean, once he got filled with the Holy Ghost, it was like the Scriptures came alive to him. And he saw it in the Word. And he believed, well, if that's the way it's supposed to be, then that's the way it's supposed to be. He expected everybody to get healed no matter what. Yes. Everybody. No exceptions. You know the story of him walking into a funeral home. Grabbing the body out of the casket. The people in the funeral home, they're freaking out. And he grabs the body out, slams it up against the wall. I think the one person he did it to was his wife. And, you know, I forget the exact words, but live. And the person slides down the wall. I said live. Finally, the person lives. Yeah, it's like, you're going to live if it kills me. He didn't say that. But then, when he raised his wife from the dead, she got on him about it. Why did you do that? Well, I just wanted to let me go. I'm gonna okay, if you want to go, see ya. Now, it didn't happen exactly that way. But yeah, he saw Matthew, Mark, Luke, he saw Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John being what he was supposed to be. That's just how he lived. How he operated. And from what I've read, the only book he ever read was the Bible. Well, I don't know if that was true. I don't know at what age that started. But it got to the point, the only book he ever read was the Bible. Now, you know, we think, well, that's kind of extreme. And you know what? I agree with you. It does sound kind of extreme. But what if that's the way it was for us? I mean, what if the only book we read ever was the Bible? And we didn't read it academically. We read it as though it is the life of God in print form. What if that was our approach? A lot of people talk about the book that Pastor Dave Roberson wrote, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. And how that, well, when I read that book, it helped me understand why I need to pray in tongues. Hey, I agree. Totally agree. But do you understand, Pastor Dave Roberson came to that understanding by what he read in the Bible. So therefore, technically, we don't need that book. If we feast on the Word, we can come to the place of understanding, if I pray in tongues, here's what's going to happen. Now, I thank God for that book. And everybody should have it. I mean, literally. I remember I was in a room with preachers, pastors. And I gave them all that book. And they all knew me. But I had a knowing on the inside. Some of them, they're not going to do anything with this. But I just knew to give it to them. And now they're accountable. Guys, what we read in Scripture about Jesus, it has to become what we see. The same thing that Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself but what I see the Father do. That's what he told them. That has to be us. To come to that place of seeing it happen. And we can get to that place. Because that's one of the things the Holy Spirit will help us do, is to capture that vision, you know, see things that are to come, right? To see us doing what Jesus did with a confidence that matches that of Jesus. You know, I'm supposed to do it. I'm commissioned to do this. We have to get past all that doubt. We have to get past, you know, again, talking about Smith Wigglesworth, he didn't go to seminary. In fact, if I remember correctly, I don't think he even graduated high school. But what he did do was graduate big time in the Spirit. And from what I've read, his grammar wasn't all that great. And I don't mean he cussed. What I mean is, he wasn't eloquent of speech. But he got results. Now, folks, we have to look unto Jesus, not Smith Wigglesworth. I thank God for the legacy he left behind for us. Looking unto Jesus, not Dave Roberson. But I thank God for the legacy he left behind for us. And it's not wrong to hear what others have done. But ultimately, we are to look unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We can do nothing of ourselves, but we can sure do a lot with that anointing and that power and the name of Jesus. Let's capture that vision. Praise God. Go ahead and stand. Father, I want to thank you for helping me with this tonight. I'll put it in human terms, since you sprang it on me at the last minute. I am grateful, very grateful. And Holy Spirit, I thank you. I mean, you answered my prayers. When I asked you to help me to know what to do, you did. And thank you for that. And I mean that sincerely. And I thank you for what we've heard here tonight from your word, Father. What a blessing. And I pray that we all will grab a hold of what has been revealed to us in your word, and that we will capture this vision.